Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Gorgeous day, 306. Speaking of gorgeous day, Dave Murray will be with us at 3:30. Stairway to Kevin.
All right, so it kind of ties into what we were just talking about with George to a degree, right? So we're talking about AI and how it's difficult, or at least sounds like it's going to be difficult to tell fact from fiction, right? History from fake history, whatever. I'm almost wondering if we're already past that anyway, minus the technology. Like we were talking about the different stories come up in politics, whatever, and reality doesn't even matter. You just choose what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. I mean, are we already past that? Forget the technology. Forget, quantum computing
mentally
and AI. Have we already crossed that threshold as a species where even if you see, oh, no, that's not true, your reaction to it is, well, I don't care. I'm going to treat it like it's true.
Yeah, I think we're already there. And then there's also the added complication of, let's say something, there was like an event that happened outside the studio and Dave and I were both there. We could possibly have very different ideas of how that event happened or different memories of it, even though we were both experiencing the same thing at the same time.
Well, I mean, I'll be completely honest. I do not believe the election was stolen in 2020. I don't believe that because most of the people I trust have reported that it didn't happen. I trust in the legal system. And out of the 62 lawsuits brought about it, they only won one, and that was on a procedural issue. It had nothing to do with whether it was
stolen. It was about how close they could be to the recount.
Yeah. However, I have not independently researched it myself where I go to the source materials and I look it up. Does that make sense to you? I'm watching the news, and I'm watching lots of different news outlets. I'm not watching Newsmax. I'm not watching things that are even farther right than that. I'm not going to the source of the computer code. So you see what I'm getting at?
Well, this is kind of the point that I'm making, right? So we're at the stage where it's been going gradually, but there have been how many decades now? Has it been you can't trust the media? Even though the media is not one thing. OAN is the media, right? Newsmax is the media.
Sure.
Fox is the media. We're the media. CNN's the media. Like, the media's everywhere. It's not one thing. It's all over the place. But you've been told you can't trust that. We're now being told in more recent years, can't trust the courts. Doesn't matter who appointed the judges. You got to ignore that. We're getting to the point where can't trust doctors, can't trust quote unquote experts. What do the experts know? What should we trust? And it's getting to the point where you're only going to trust what you want to know. At that point, we're done. If everybody only trusts what they want to believe, if they only trust their gut or their heart, we have basically attacked every single element. Can't trust the government. So again, we have designed this, or it's, I don't know. I mean, I would say that there are people that have been purposefully doing this for 20, 30, 40 years, purposefully attacking institutions and expertise. But to what end? Because at the end of that tunnel, all you have is whatever people are going to choose to believe. So how does that make anything better for anybody?
So you say to what end? There are two basic buckets of possibility. One is that in the 60s or so, people started saying, hey, let's do this. And when we're successful decades from now, X can happen. We can overthrow the government. We can start whatever it is. Or they really had no plan in place at all. And it has just evolved into where we are now.
Because it kind of feels like a Batman movie where starring the Joker, where all the Joker wants is chaos.
Yeah.
And maybe there are just enough people that benefit from chaos that they're cool with it. But I don't, again, in the end, because we're not at the end now. We're maybe, early to middle stages of the process of, I'm only going to believe, because there's still a lot of people, I would think a majority of people that do still trust the court system as a whole, that do still trust yeah, education and doctors.
Yet.
Right. We're not at a point where the majority doubt those, but we have definitely continued to go in the direction where anything that has been considered an established source or an any form of establishment has been questioned and questioned and questioned. And it's been a slow erosion. And I'm not saying you should just believe everything you're told. That's not the point. But the point is, if you just question every single thing and you're only going to choose what you believe, well, then you're just going to believe what you want to believe. And if everybody just gets to believe what they want, no matter what, then what's the point of any of it?
I agree with you. There's another side issue that I think is important related to this, and that is that since 9/11 and certainly since COVID, we are all so beaten down that we put up with stuff we never would have put up with. Case in point, when the Egg Council, who I always trusted, just gouged us. It wasn't like supply chain. It wasn't like when I waited on my Bronco for 3 months or waited on the new engine for the Jeep for 4 months and everyone's apologizing. It's not that. They just gouged us because they could. They're doing shrinkflation because they can. They couldn't have done that 25 years ago because we would have thrown an absolute fit and we wouldn't have put up with it. Now we're all just like, hey, stop that.
Whatever.
Hey, you stop that. But we don't have the mojo anymore because we've taken so many punches.
Oh, and like the nerve of people choosing to lie is getting stronger and stronger. Like, I mean, like just use January 6th as an example, right? I think there are people that could reasonably say, look, it wasn't an insurrection. It was a few hundred people out of 10,000 that got crazy and stupid and they were wrong and they're criminals and they should be like, that would be a spin. But we flat out had people just say they were tourists, like literally the day after. We're all seeing it on TV. And I just can't count the number of times, David and Rach and Andrew, like in the last few years where I'm like, you know, we all can see these things. Like we can see what happened. There's video. We watched it. And within a day, people are saying, yeah, that what you saw there, that didn't happen. And the reaction isn't that person will never be heard from again because they're clearly a psycho. The reaction is, like you said, Dave, it's just like, well, yeah, that's a bad guy. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, there's a lot of money to be made by telling people what they want to hear. And I think that's what it boils down to.
Amen.
Is we're trying to apply logic and we're trying to apply morals and what we would do in this situation. And I just don't think it applies. I think there are just bad people out there who, no, I don't think they have an end game. I don't think they care what happens with all this disinformation being sown as long as they're
just
making
their
money in the moment.
I mean,
they're gaining notoriety. Like someone like Tucker Carlson. We've talked about this before. Why is it that he chooses this way of life? Why is it that he goes to Moscow and talks about how much better it is than the United States? That's something none of us would do because we see the end game and we go like, oh, that's headed nowhere good. But if you don't care that it's not headed anywhere good and all you care about is getting your bag in the moment, like then fine.
I mean,
you see more and more people making that choice.
Yeah,
they put off, you know, what's best for the future, and they just take what's going to feel good now. And
you know what it's like? It's like OnlyFans.
I was kind of having that same thought.
Yeah.
Of like, you can't. I mean, there are people who just flat out wouldn't do it. Period. There are people who do it because that's their only choice. And then there are a lot of people making this choice for themselves and not thinking about how it's going to affect
right.
them in 10 or 20
it's
years.
It's just the money in the moment,
right?
I think that's a good, like, great, and that's a great comp. And I think Twitter is kind of that way now too. With you know, the way that Elon chose to monetize it, right? It's all about interaction. It's all about what reactions and how many reactions and interactions your tweets get. So it doesn't matter if it's real or not. All that matters is people are looking at it because that's how you're going to get paid. I'm sure that's part of the Tucker thing too because he's doing a lot of these things on Twitter where the engagement is all that matters. And I guess part of the reason I wanted to bring this up, Dave, is because of something you say a lot. All of this still proves that there are basically no adults in charge. Or at least if there are, they're cool with it. Because the people that could impact it are the ones that don't seem to want to, whether they're highly elected officials, whether they're the billionaire class. You know, I mean, people like Elon and Bezos, they could easily be the ones that push back against
apropos
this stuff.
Of that, what do you think of the Mitt Romneys, the Roy Blunts, the Kyrsten Sinemas? What do you think of them? They may know they're going to lose in a primary, but they're not fighting.
No.
And it just, that just hit me and pissed me off today. Like, hey, wait a minute. If you think that what's happening now is so terrible, at least get in the ring and get your ass kicked for me.
I mean, it kind of goes to what you said 2 minutes ago, where we're all so beaten down. We're like, eh, whatever. Like, there, we used to get mad and do something. We used to get mad and boycott. We used to get mad and call our congresspeople, our senators, you know, the TV station, whatever, and make it known that that was not going to be acceptable. Therefore, they would make a change. But it sounds like what you just said with Mitt and with who was the other one you mentioned?
Like Roy Blunt. Right?
Like
and
the
Cinema
ones that are just giving in to the fight instead of fighting. Haven't we all kind of done that?
Yeah, I guess we can't blame them for something that we've done ourselves.
I don't think that we do individually here, at least. I mean, we at the very least give voice to those kinds of problems and those concerns. But overall, you gotta vibe. The vibe of the United States right now, I would say overall, is I don't care. I don't care about your thing. I don't care about this thing. I don't have time to care about this thing. Some of it's justifiable. Some of it's not. But if it doesn't lead anywhere good when you cannot agree upon a set of facts.
That's why when people say maybe what has to happen is another 9/11 or another Pearl Harbor. My dad joined the Navy at 17 after Pearl Harbor. When I asked him, which he never talked about the war until he had Alzheimer's. But the one time I asked him, I said, well, why did you join? And without hesitation, he said, because I was so pissed off. I'm not sure that would happen again today. I think we would be PO'd, and I think that we would watch it on television. But I'm not sure that we would go out and join the military en masse the way we did after 9/11.
Probably not, but I also think it might be for different reasons. I mean, back then, the way that you fought was hundreds of thousands of soldiers boarded boats and planes and went across the world to do it. It's not necessary to do it that way now with the technology.
Let's talk to Bob here on line one. He has a question I frankly have never thought of. Bob, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've often wondered why have none of the former office holders, the presidents, going back to George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and even the vice presidents going all the way back to Dan Quayle, vice presidents, Republican Dick Cheney. Why have they never called out Donald Trump's behavior and just said, look, man, you lost. You know, quit, your behavior is embarrassing. You know, you are absolutely bringing, you know, just scorn and whatever to the office of the president. Walk away gracefully, knock it off. But I've heard nothing from these men. And if anybody has the credibility to call him out on his reprehensible lies, because that's what they are, in my opinion, it's them. But I've heard nothing.
Interesting.
And I wonder why.
Well, Dick Cheney has. And I think part of it is because of the whole how things have gone with Liz. But Dick Cheney has called Trump something like the most dangerous man in history
or
something like that.
They all have in some subtle way, but it's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, imagine them all doing a news conference together or a video together or something.
I mean, I have a take. I think it's because it wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't stop Donald Trump's behavior. I mean, no one's going to shame him into silence. It's not going to happen. And then the other thing is traditionally presidents have stayed silent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if they speak up to talk about him, it's like, oh, how am I any better than him? Because he won't leave Biden alone during his presidency.
They're still following the old unwritten rules.
Yes.
Right.
And I think Rach is right. It wouldn't change certain minds. Although I would say maybe it impacts the people that are the swing voters. If you had all of the past living presidents of both parties saying, I'm not saying they should do this, by the way. I'm just saying that would be the potential positive, would be swing voters saying, well, that's something to consider, because the swing voters are the only ones that matter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, die hard left, die hard right. They're not changing. They're going to vote for the way they're going to vote. But those people in the middle are the ones that can change elections.
So, okay, probably not given this long enough, but Kate Middleton,
She's missing in action. Okay, so there's a lot that's been going on. So for several months, she hadn't been seen. She had had this abdominal surgery. And after a certain period of time, people were like, where's Kate Middleton? She's not doing any public appearances. We haven't seen her. So over the weekend, a photo was released from the Prince and Princess of Wales Twitter account. And it was Kate Middleton with her three children around her posing for Mother's Day in the UK.
Okay.
Well, upon further reflection, this was a heavily photoshopped photograph. It looked like, you know, the sleeves were wrong. Yeah. It looked like people were putting in, you know, a face from a different photo. It was very messed up to the point where the Prince and Princess of Wales actually apologized for releasing a doctored photo.
Oh, yeah, the news agencies killed it.
Yeah.
Like they originally sent out the photo and then they said, no, kill this. It's been altered. We can't back this. It was like, three or four news agencies?
I'm not sure, but I do
know
that
the AP was one of them, for sure.
Kate Middleton herself, quote unquote, came out on Twitter and said, sorry, I like to play with Photoshop. And people are calling for if this is just a Photoshopped picture, just to release the untouched photo. Well, they haven't done that. And you did see this morning, so she was in a car with Prince William. They were going to church. He was going to go into church. She was not actually going to go. And there was some sort of private audience going on, but there is a very far away, you know, there she is. You can see her through the car, but something really weird is going on. Some people think she's dead. I don't think that. A lot of people think maybe there's troubles in the marriage and they're getting ready to soft launch a divorce or something like that. But stay tuned to what's going on with Kate Middleton, because it's odd.
Like I've been saying, the royal family are psychos.
All they need to do is release a video of her talking, but they're not doing that for some reason.
34 DGS on KMOX. Gorgeous day out there. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Nice. Yeah, it's a nice day.
Did you see the update on the mouse adventures online?
I saw the mouse, the shopping bag with a mouse in it.
So the short story, and you can ask Andrew whatever follow-up questions you would like. The story started out that Andrew caught the mouse in his car and ran a couple miles away from his house.
Sprinted, really.
Released the mouse into the wilderness, and after about 40 seconds of cross-examination, he admitted that it was his wife who caught the mouse in the car, and then he ran about a half a block away and threw it into an intersection. But it survived. It ran off, so it should be fine with this little mouse family, but the mouse has been caught.
Yeah, it's coming back to the car, I'm guaranteed.
That's what Amy Markscore says, yes.
Also, I should confess, I walked half a block. I did not run half a block.
Wow. Another change in the story.
Yep.
Well, I didn't believe, really, until we opened the bag when I was taking the video, I didn't believe that it was actually in there. Because I was shaking that bag, and nothing. I couldn't hear anything. So I was like, surely if it's in there, if I shake it around...
What, were you afraid to open it up? Was it going to jump out and bite you in the nose?
That's precisely what I was afraid of.
Watch out for those flying mice.
That is exactly... They can climb stuff. They can climb. They get their little claws in, and they.
That mouse has already gathered his rat friends and said, "This is what this guy did to me. Here's his car. I know how to get in. Let's go."
Yep.
He went to all their houses in the wooded area, and he said, "Come on now.
It's going to show up on your shoulder while you're driving someday."
Dave, how are we looking for the rest of the week?
Yeah, it's going to start to get a little unsettled, but we're very mild right through right through Friday. Though Friday's going to cool down a little bit. We have this kind of complex storm system setting up in the Rockies. It will bring this south to southwest flow. That's why we're warming up. But lots of sunshine on Tuesday, 72, not even close to a record. The record's 84. Tuesday night, start to see some scattered showers around late Tuesday night, 52. Not a lot of rain. Wednesday, partly sunny. A couple of scattered showers, maybe a rumble of thunder Wednesday afternoon. Also not a lot of rain. 75, not even close to a record. Then we'll start to see a little uptick in scattered shower and thunderstorm activity Thursday afternoon into Thursday night. That's the cool front coming through in this system. But we're still warm on Thursday, 75 degrees. A couple of these storms have the potential to be strong Thursday afternoon into Thursday evening. Clearing skies on Friday, and we'll hit a high of about 59. Temperatures over the weekend, right around 60, 62 degrees. So a little cooler Friday and over the weekend, but nothing cold.
Very good. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. The Swedish flag was raised at NATO headquarters today. It officially marks Sweden's place as the 32nd NATO member after joining the alliance last week. Sweden was spurred to join NATO by Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Good news. Mm-hmm. I wish everyone, I sound so stupid and infantile right now. I wish everyone was NATO, but I do. I mean, I wish we would just keep adding countries.
Yeah. You know, this is one of the spins that gets put on the Putin thing. People are defending his actions because, well, NATO's knocking on his door. NATO's not going to invade Russia. This is all because in the past, Russia has shown aggression in those areas, and they don't want that to happen again. That's what NATO is all about. And I don't understand why anybody tries to believe that spin about, well, you know, Putin's just feeling threatened because of, well, then if he doesn't invade anybody, nothing's going to happen, right?
He feels threatened, so he invaded Ukraine.
Right, exactly. So like the old saying, that's not that old of a saying, but don't start blank and there won't be blank.
Mm-hmm. What are the downsides to letting somebody into NATO? Like, why would we not just
take anyone?
Yeah,
Because then you have to defend them. And so,
right, and they have to be able to carry their weight.
Yeah, so if a very tiny country with no standing army said, we'd really like your protection, you have to be able to bring a little something to the
table.
So
like a place like Switzerland or whatever that doesn't have a huge, robust military.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think we'd probably take...
Some of it's financial, too, right? Yeah. Can you support your part of the bill?
Yeah. They just have to pull their weight. It's
yes.
not a charity situation.
Correct.
Correct.
Disney is looking to win approval from local officials in California to expand Disneyland over the next 4 decades. There's a proposed expansion that would place rides and entertainment options on what is currently a 50-acre parking lot and moving parking to a multi-story structure. So they're looking to expand. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a Disney person, so it's not going to affect me in any way, but a lot of people care. Southwest is cracking down on carry-on bags. According to the Wall Street Journal, fanny packs, crossbody bags, shopping bags, pillows, and blankets now count as your personal item. So if your actual personal item is a backpack and you have a fanny pack, well, that turns into your carry-on, and then your carry-on turns into a checked bag. So just make sure all of that stuff fits into your personal
bag. Never goes our way, does it?
No, this is a scam, because if you have a carry-on, right, so that would go in the bin up ahead or under your seat, and you have your personal item that fits in one of those places, and you're telling me that a pillow that sits on your lap, anything that fits in your space... Why would it be a problem if it fits in your personal space needing to go somewhere else?
I don't think on landing and takeoff you can have that pillow in your lap.
Sure you can.
I don't think so. I think technically you're not
really
supposed to anyway. Yeah, because if there was an emergency, that pillow could get in the way.
How about this latest one? Do you see this? I think it's Boeing again, where... It was the quote was blood on the ceiling.
Yeah,
that they had some sort of an event that I've not heard exactly what it is yet.
A strong movement,
but it dropped and people who were not buckled in hit the ceiling and knocked holes in the ceiling.
Jeez.
50 people were injured.
Holy crap!
Mm-hmm. What planes are just like falling apart?
I know.
Maybe we should not worry about the carry-on stuff.
Right. Let's keep the doors and the wheels on.
I was going to say.
Charge me for my fanny pack.
Thank you.
You saw the tire fly off.
Use that to buy tires.
That's amazing.
Maybe that's why they're doing this, because they need to charge for the money to fix stuff.
Wouldn't be a dumb idea.
Dave, did you see the tire fly off the plane when it was taken off and crush a bunch of cars in the parking lot?
Nuts.
Couple more plane things here. 5 were killed in a private jet crash in Virginia. The twin-engine aircraft crashed and caught fire while attempting an emergency landing at Ingalls Field Airport in Hot Springs. The plane had flown out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. 4 adults and 1 child were killed. Their identities have not yet been released.
Dave, remember when it was Payne Weber's private plane, the golfer? Remember that?
Oh, Payne Stewart.
Payne Stewart.
Yeah.
Man, that was weird, wasn't it?
That was very
jet fighters up there. Yeah.
Do you remember? You guys are probably too young to remember that.
I don't know who that
so
is.
So a very famous golfer. He was.
Yeah. He was one of the best in the world
for wearing
at the time.
Like pantaloons, you know, and
knickers.
That kind of guy.
Little knickers, and something happened with the air pressure, the air, and they all were asleep.
They
or,
all passed out
or dead.
Yeah, the oxygen basically stopped.
Yeah.
So the plane kept flying.
Yep. Yeah, I do. I didn't know the story behind it, but I knew about a plane that
was
like
crazy.
Everybody was unconscious.
Yeah, I remember watching that while it was happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
One more story here. Senators are pushing for permanent daylight savings. I thought this was timely, no pun included. Senators Ed Markey and Marco Rubio are making a new push on bipartisan legislation that would make daylight savings permanent. The Sunshine Protection Act would make it permanent and add an hour to the
day. Just do it or don't
Why
do
can't
it.
We get this done?
Yes.
This seems so
Stop
easy.
Stop talking about it, you monkeys.
Every year we get the same thing, and every year nothing happens. So that just either shut up or
just
do it.
Just do it or don't do it. It can't be that difficult.
Are we pro or anti that?
I just don't care.
How do you guys feel about it?
I mean, I think I'd rather it be this time.
Okay. Yeah.
Lighter later. Yeah.
Yes. I'll struggle through the mornings.
Yeah. I mean, we're not in a farming culture like we used to be.
Dave, how do you feel about it?
I love this. I love the change right now. I mean, I love the light at night.
Yeah.
It takes a little adjustment, but especially in the morning. But I can deal with that.
Yeah, we can deal with that.
I do have one more story I can do. I said I was done with headlines, but have you guys heard of Target Circle 360?
No.
This is a new program that's launching at Target, and I believe it's for $35 a month. You can get delivery straight to your door in an hour or less, as long as you're spending over $35.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, you have Amazon Prime, which is about $15 a month, and it's 2 days free shipping. Target is coming out with this thing that is going to put your Target goods on your doorstep as long as you're spending over $35.
Hmm, that's a little pricey, though.
Let me ask you guys, what is the very most, what is your upper end that you will pay for the best bowl of soup you've ever had in your life?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Would have to be like a...
It's the best, Jerry.
Like a lobster bisque kind of thing?
Yeah.
Maybe $10.
I'd do like 40, 45.
Dave, you got a lot of money. What would
40?
You pay?
If it's the best one ever, soap? Kevin.
No, about 12.
You can't get lobster bisque for $10 anywhere anyway, Kevin.
I have gotten that.
There's a restaurant in Chicago selling a bowl of soup for $1,893. Wow. It's made with a rare cognac.
Gold in it.
Caviar, red snapper, and gold flakes.
Gold flakes.
They always got to throw the gold flakes on there.
Who wants to eat gold? Like, why is that a plus?
Okay. How do those gold flakes process through your system?
I don't know. You probably.
I'm willing to find out.
I think the most extravagant thing I did was it either Truffles or Annie Gunn's. They had black truffles in, and I'd never really had real black truffles. And they said, we can make you a little bowl of pasta with them. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so they made me a cereal bowl with white pasta with truffles shaved on it. And it was either $60 or $80.
Worth it?
For the experience.
No, but like just eating it. Was
no.
it good?
Oh,
no.
Yeah, fantastic.
It is. Okay.
It was great.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't do it again because I don't want to pay $80 for a bowl of cereal size of anything. But for the one time, yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
I mean, these things are thousands of dollars for something the size of your fist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What makes them so expensive?
It's
hard to find.
Hard to find, hard to get.
Yeah, like the rarity. They only grow in certain regions in certain ways, and pigs find them or dogs find them. And now they're starting to grow them, which is kind of taking the fun away from
That's
them.
No
but
fun. Yeah.
Probably the most extravagant
thing. From lab
I've done.
Diamonds to lab
truffles.
Truffles.
Thanks, Dave.
Alrighty.
Put this on your list of things to see. Jerry Seinfeld has an upcoming movie called Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. Comes out on May 3rd, and Hugh Grant is playing Tony the Tiger. I'm not on drugs. That's happening in the world.
So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's like an animated movie starring, like, Pop-Tarts?
I don't know yet.
I hope it's half as successful as B-Movie was.
I did enjoy B-Movie.
The star should be the cinnamon and brown sugar Pop-Tart.
See, you're already into it.
If you guys want to watch something fun, you should go on YouTube and you should watch B-Movie, but it gets, I think they double the speed every time, or they raise the speed slightly every time somebody says B. And so the whole video is like 10 minutes long.
What a world.